Good morning. Today is Friday, May the 6th. You know what today is?
The day after Cinco de Mayo.
Willie Mays' birthday.
Okay. Outstanding.
And the day after Cinco de Mayo, yeah.
It's 2 days after my oldest brother's birthday. Happy birthday, MJ.
Oh, he's May 4th?
Yes.
Ah. Before the movie.
Yes, before the movie.
Yeah,
yes,
okay.
Yes. I caught that one. We had an event. If we didn't have an event, I wouldn't have caught that one.
I've got a buddy who was born on March 4th, mm-hmm. and his blood type is B positive. So it's March 4th, B positive. He's got a big sign over his doorway. Nice. Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to work for him, but that's okay. Are you ready for our... Why do we say it?
I think so.
All right. Why do we, and this is in the sports area, so you might have half a shot at it.
Yeah.
Deadlock. Why do we say deadlock?
I would assume it's from a wrestling term, that there's a certain hold that happens and they consider it a stoppage where they stop the fight.
This is frighteningly close.
Okay.
Wrestling was a highly developed sport at least 5,000 years ago. Sculpture from temple tombs near the Nile indicate that ancient grapplers used many of the holds still in vogue today. No one knows precisely when the sport became prominent in Britain, but by the time noblemen became engrossed with chivalry, many commoners were wrestling fans. It was not unusual for a burly individual to make a special move. By means of it, he could hold an opponent indefinitely, but was unable to force submission. Because it killed action, a hold of this sort was called a deadlock. Spreading from the ring, it became also a label of stalemate of any sort.
Well, I was thinking if it's all the way back then that they actually would have killed the guy, no?
Probably both.
Okay. Yeah.
Only the winner survives. You got a tie? Sorry, guys. You both came up short. Oh, so you had a cruise ship in town. You had an opportunity to play host. Did you get a chance to play host, or was that somebody else's area?
Nope, I was down there. Met him down there at 10 o'clock, and massive boat, that's for sure. People were calling me and telling me on the third floor of City Hall that they could see it from the third floor of City Hall.
I could see it from the small bridges.
Yeah, you should be able to. Yeah.
Boy, I almost got you on that one, too. Oh, boy.
But, yeah, really, really big ship and a good time. A lot of people came down to see it, that's for sure. There was
a lot of excursions that were coordinated? I don't even know who. In the old days, it would have been the Visitors and Convention Bureau. I don't know who coordinated it or was it the cruise line itself?
It was a group of people. I mean, we couldn't have had it happen without Leroy. Thanks, Captain Salty. I appreciate your service. And then, of course, Dave Schneider, and then Captain Tim, Patricia, for bringing them in.
We saw the tugs chugging along, so I figured Tim was out there either leading the charge or pushing hard.
But the coordination part mainly fell on our staff. Swan did a lot of the excursions. What was unfortunate is we had planned about 7 different excursions for them, and then about a week before, the captain had given us a call and said, no, it's okay, we're bringing somebody up. So they brought a company from out of the area, and they did an excursion up to Prairie Creek. But there were folks that got off and went into Old Town. We did some tours with some of our elected officials, with some of the people that were on the boat around Old Town, and took some of them up to the Skywalk.
I think the proper term is ship.
Ship.
Boats have rows and oars.
Okay, gotcha.
I think that might be a dunkable offense.
It's going to happen soon.
Yeah. So they did get a chance to see the area a little bit.
Yeah.
Have you had any feedback yet from the cruise line, or is that going to be after they have their last or final port of call?
We'll get that back. The captain we spoke to and the general manager that was on the boat, we had hung out. They drank champagne and talked a lot and talked about how we wanted to get them up to the Skywalk and stuff. The company that they hired for the excursion, we definitely took to the Skywalk, so we're hoping that'll get us some pub. But we will find out at some point. We have 2 more scheduled in September, so we'll see how that goes. But this was...
2 at the same time or consecutive weeks?
No, separate times. I don't know the exact date.
Are they going to be using the Schneider dock?
Yes. Uh-huh.
That seems to be the one that was the most convenient.
We got to continue to give Dave pub because we need Dave in order to make it.
Because now he's a nice guy.
Thank you, Dave. You're the best, Dave. I love you, Dave.
Look out for the cake, Dave. I think, like anything else, if it goes smooth, it looks easy. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that take so much effort to look like it's going smooth.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes, how challenging was something like this? Because there is no recent history of doing this. It's not like you were in Skagway and you got three boats coming through every week and it just becomes routine. You got people probably who have never worked with a cruise line that are responsible for helping out this particular event.
Yeah, it's a lot of effort. I mean, our economic development staff, Swan Asbury, thank you, Swan, and Christine.
Almost as much as Dave.
Yes, at least as much as Dave.
Yeah.
But and Christine Tyson, who unfortunately has left, but they were working on this pre-COVID, and so we had a bunch of boats scheduled for that, and so there was a lot of legwork done at that point in time to try and coordinate transportation, different excursions, those type of things. And so once we started getting solicited by cruise ships, we kind of brought that back up again. But yeah, it is definitely a lot of effort, especially it was unfortunate that we had, you know, we worked with Humboldt Transit Authority. We finally found a workaround to get transportation help from them.
Some shuttles.
Which is always difficult. And then at the last minute, they nixed the deal. But, you know, at least that's in place, and when they come back again, we should be able to dust it off.
Same cruise line?
No. This one was I should know the name. Anyway, but it probably held about 700 or 800.
Yeah.
I think there was only about 250 that were on there, but really jovial people. They got off the boat, y'all gave them standing ovations, and it was entertaining. It was a good time.
Yeah, did you guys go to, was it Cruise America? Is that the convention that's in Florida?
We did not. It's Cruise in the West, I believe.
Okay, well, I got close, right?
And no, we did not, but we plan on picking that up. We need to figure this out and get more coordination with all the entities, the county, the Harbor District, and those type of things. We did work with Bruce Connor previously. That was with Cruise of the West, and then it went to local folks, to Alana Powell and Tim, and they were going back there. So we should, you know, if we're going to continue down this, we should pick that up again.
It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Eureka City Manager Miles Slattery. Lessons learned from this one. Everybody always learns from, you know, day by day with the cruise visit. Lessons learned, either for tourism or for the next ships coming in.
I would say that we need to take more advantage of the locals that are coming to see it, because I think that participation level is a lot bigger than I had ever thought. I mean, there was
the novelty
cars lined up and down the road, and if they're going to come into town like that, we should probably have something in place for them to do as well. And what that is, I don't know, but there was definitely hundreds of people that came down to see the boat, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff's cool. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you've ever cruised or not, it's still kind of fun to look at and go, wow.
Well, it's massive. You know, I'm from San Diego, and you go into the bay down there, and the boats that are adjacent, doesn't really, it's not that awe-inspiring because it's like, okay, that's a massive boat next to another massive boat next to an
aircraft carrier. Yeah. It doesn't quite have that same aura.
Exactly. Yeah. And then when you see that thing rolling into Snyder's dock and it's
next to a fishing trawler.
It's a city. You know, I mean, it was so big, I was joking with the captain saying, is that thing going to roll on the way outside the bar? Because there's not much weight in it because there hasn't that many people in it.
That was probably well received as a joke, huh?
No, maybe that's the reason why.
Yeah. Well, and all the different personalities. The thing that I would consider that would be cool is all the variables. What if it was raining instead of a great day that it was?
Well,
what if
was
this?
Really, really
what
windy.
If that? Play around with all the what ifs and the contingency plans. Mm-hmm. Now you're ready for anything.
Yeah, and, you know, we do a lot of events on the waterfront, you know, as it is. I mean, I'll never forget the first Crab Fest that we did. I mean, we put in massive tents down there and put 55-gallon
drums
to hold down the pit, and they still blew. So, I mean...
Should have put something inside.
Yeah. No, we did.
Not me.
We did. But, I mean, yeah, we've had a lot of events, and we were ready. You know, if it was going to rain, we had the pop-ups, and we would have been prepared.
But wind is one of those that's a little bit more challenging.
Yes.
when you're working with the folks coming for the next visit, either of them, more detail, less detail, because they've got their package stuff already that they probably have as their templates too. Mm-hmm. Do you get a chance to look at that stuff and say, okay, what is your itinerary? What are you looking to do? What would maximize the experience for your customers?
Well, and that's what was the frustrating part about this one is we thought, you know, we had a lot of legwork done beforehand to say this is what we're doing, these are the excursions that we're doing, and then that got pulled out from under us. I mean, we pivoted and it was just fine and it was still a good experience, but I think if we're going to really benefit from cruise ships coming here, that we need to get them here to our local
An overnight would be grand.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's probably pretty tough in the cruise industry anyway.
And what I always thought was that, you know, Snyder Dock is an industrial dock and that, you know, they're typically used to Astoria or Catalina where you roll in there and it's, you know, meant for cruise ships and it's got a different feel. We had people come out and said they really liked this dock. They were elderly and they were happy because it was solid. It didn't move. So they
well,
weren't
maybe,
so concerned.
Maybe it's
about
good
the,
you didn't get them up on the Redwood in the park then.
Yes.
How do you determine an ROI for a cruise ship? I mean, you know, you have so many hours.
I hope Chet's not listening because I don't listen to Chet. I'll tell you that much. No, I'm just joking. You know, there's a thought process of this 7x multiplier of, you know, the benefit of them coming here. They'll come back and they'll visit, not necessarily via cruise ship, but by, you know, coming here and
we've got airplanes
hotel,
now.
Those type of things, yes. Flying here, those type of things. So that's why the importance of getting them to the Skywalk was really big for us, and we did get some of those folks there because, you know, it's a one-of-a-kind, you know, world attraction that people come to and look at. And so I think that if we can pitch that. And then, of course, you know, cannabis is something that's, you know, not typically as well-received as we are here. And so I think that could be advantageous maybe for a younger crew that was coming through.
Carnival.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I'm not persuaded that that would be something that they would be most interested in.
Versus
the trees and the Victorians and the history and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, the Skywalk and, you know, the feel of the Skywalk and, you know, the trees are, well, there's bigger trees in Prairie Creek, but... that, you know, you're going to have to do a lot of hiking to go through there.
Well, in the national park, you know, I mean, if there had been enough time, mm-hmm. you at least take the old highway.
Yeah.
You know, you pull over, and you know, if it's a 50-foot radius or a 75-foot radius, who
the
cares?
The feel of a tour bus isn't very good.
No, but you stop and then you get out and wander. Yeah. That sort of thing. But it is interesting because we do have enough uniqueness here that we could fill whatever the time is. Mm-hmm. Do we have ambassadors?
Chet Albin. We're going to nominate him our official mascot.
Was he down? Mascot?
Chet,
Does that mean he gets to wear the fancy uniform?
I thought Chet was going to just explode with enthusiasm when he was down there. He was about as giddy as it gets.
Not bad for an old basketball ref, huh?
Yes.
Emphasis on the old, buddy. They gave him a chance to wear the little hat, too, and the uniform.
Oh, he didn't roll with that, but he was happy. For
very
sure.
Cool, very cool. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Miles Slattery from the city of Eureka. So what's new other than the ship?
I
mean, you're not even involved in the political cycle this time around. It's got to be kind of a relief.
Well, November there will be.
Well, that's not today's battle. That's tomorrow's.
No, that's tomorrow's battle. I don't know. Recently? I know, it's been really good. There's a lot of development out there, I can tell you that. We have both private and public, so England Marines building their foundation right now across from the Wharfinger. That's being built. Danco's building their housing project on South America.
Yeah, what is that? I still think of it as the old gas station. saw the rigs out there in the digging. What is that going to be?
There's senior housing there, 35 units, I believe, of senior, 34.
Okay, just a residential facility.
Yep.
It's not the super care type things.
No, just a residential facility, and then there's...
Is there a basement with it?
Or is it better?
There's a big old deep hole that they're digging.
I think that's a stormwater mitigation measure for
Holy
them.
Cow, what are you expecting, a hurricane to come roaring through?
No, it's just you have to detain on site, and so there's probably going to be a... And I could be speaking out of turn here, but I think it's a detention basin so that it infiltrates. The new stormwater regulations require that you retain an 85th percentile storm, which is a certain amount of inches, and it has
right.
the ability
so what to you're saying is it's a little pond, and then the water is going to be able to drain into the soil.
Yes. Retention area, I believe yeah. is what they like to call it.
Yeah, not mud puddle. It doesn't
yes,
work.
Yes. But then we have also there's going to be new hotels going to break ground on the old chamber site, 75 hotel rooms. And then
that'll start something in that neighborhood. Have you had any,
which will be nice
any other of the neighbors ask or talk about, well, okay, what is the time? What can we do? And are you
HWMA would like to expand, and what that looks like, we don't know yet. But they've been looking into that. And then, of course, Food for People is pretty far along the way as well. So we got a lot of...
Of course, that one's kind of tucked up in town a little bit. I'm surprised when someone says ADU... Or mother-in-law units. Mm-hmm. You know, most of us, I would think, are a little cottage, 500-600 feet, a little kitchenette, mm-hmm. bathroom, and, you know, a kind of a public area, and then a bedroom of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these things look like a second house. They're massive. Second floor, third, you know, big this, big that. So when we hear the term ADU... What is the technical definition of that, and what sizes are you looking at?
I don't think we have any. As long as the setbacks are met and all of the things associated with that, then I don't think that there's a real a limit to how big they can be. I mean, what's happened with the state level and that we had to adopt is now that you can split parcels at a much smaller level. I think it's a 3,000 square foot parcel, and so if you have a 3,000 square foot parcel, and sorry, Kristen Kenyon and Kristen Getz, if I'm wrong, if it's 3,000 or 5, but you can split it, and in each of those that you split, you can put a primary residence as well as an ADU. And so we are starting to get a lot of applications for that, for people to take advantage of that, to where they can build two primary residences on a city lot.
So they're like a non-connected duplex.
Yep.
In effect.
Mm-hmm. Or you can have them connected too.
So what does that do with the parking requirements? Is all that stuff waived?
ADUs, yes. And in the inland code, you're questioning my planning thing, and I'm going to get hammered when I get back to work. But I'm pretty sure.
Hey, now wait a minute. You said hammered, huh?
In the inland code,
I believe, champagne bottles that were left.
Yes, in the inland code, I don't believe an ADUs are required to add parking for that.
And inland is
anything outside the coastal zone. So basically, from Third Street to the south.
So city jurisdiction, pure city jurisdiction.
Yeah, and that'll be changed once we get our LCP update, which is our local coastal program update. We're trying to mirror the inland code
throughout the entire city.
Yeah,
for consistency.
Yeah.
Will the Coastal Commission accept that?
We've had our LCP update with the Coastal Commission for a while, and we meet with them monthly, and we're trying to push that forward. The two main areas of concern are obviously sea level rise, which they call their hazard assessment, and then also the zoning for coastal dependent industrial. You know, we'd like to have a little bit more leeway with
some flexibility.
That. Yeah.
Any movement at all, like on the Halverson site or any of the other properties that are along the waterfront that have just kind of been great fun for lawnmowing?
Yep. Coastal development permit is in for the RV park right now.
Cool.
And that's being processed. The only other one along the waterfront is the new England Marine. It's going to be a 15,000 square foot new building.
The one down by the Warfinger?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody going in next door to it? Or is that property already being utilized as it will be?
No, we have a lot of people interested in that. So we'll see what happens with that. You know, there's been a lot of interest in both that as well as the old Doc B property as well.
Local or folks out of the area that are discovering us?
A couple out of the area, but most local.
Okay. Well, that's kind of, at least they know what they're dealing with then.
Yeah.
And some of the historical with it. Yeah. What are the plans for the road? I don't know what it's called. You know, the little frontage road in between where?
Marina Way.
Is that what it's called?
The one that runs parallel to Waterfront Drive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That small little short run. Is that going to be through all the time once these developments occur, or are they still going to be kind of a dead end for
it's
those?
It's already a dead end.
Right. Yeah. But it also used to go through.
Yeah, that's another one. Thanks, Dave. Dave bought that property from us, and then that was closed.
Okay.
That's a part of that.
So regardless of what the development is, it's not going to be a drive through or a loop through.
No, not for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, maybe it'll be birthday cakes too, huh?
Yes.
KINS News and Information Times 8:43.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Miles Slattery. Miles, as you look at the last year at this time, we were saying paving. What are the paving projects for this construction season that you're looking at?
We have, I believe, $3.5 million that's going to be going this time. One of the major areas that have received a lot of input over the years is the second and X area there.
Okay.
Get that war zone taken care of. I'd have to look. I don't have them exact. But yeah, we have some significant projects similar to like 14th Street. We have, we just did commercial. It's hard to tell because we did move up a lot of our projects that were supposed to come in, commercial wasn't supposed to be done until this year. We moved that up. I do know that Old Town will be done in the summer of 2023, and so all of Old Town will be repaved.
Well, that'll be kind of an interesting scheduling process. They're going to be working at night?
It'll make our merchants very happy, Brian, right?
Now, you say that, and I'm hoping that there are going to be merchants in Old Town next year to be able to take advantage of it. But I would think, you know, anything like that that's a disruption.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of coordination, and there's going to have to be a lot of, you know, we'll span it out and try and make the impacts, you know, as little as possible. What's good about that is it's most of the roads in Old Town aren't complete redos, so it's not
a quicker project. Yeah. Can you have it set up so it's not during business hours? Okay, you can start at 7 at night. And run until 10 in the morning? Or because of the private residences that are down there, do you have additional challenges?
I'm sure we'd have challenges from that. It would also likely be a money issue and what that would cost. But I'm not sure we've never done that before. I can tell you the best story that I have from working here. I was hired in 2006, and soon thereafter I was given the punishment for competence, and I started doing the sidewalk projects, and I had to do a project.
How many miles of sidewalk projects are there in this town?
Jeez. I had to do the crosswalks in Old Town. You know, we redid the bricks, and so RAO was down there, and Rick Olson was down there, and so it was just prior to, it was between Thanksgiving and Christmas. I was a newbie. I had no idea about Old Town merchants or anything like that. So I scheduled it right during that time frame there, and it wasn't well received.
Grand move.
Yes.
But, you know, at least you still have memories of it and the scars to prove the memory.
Yes.
Yeah. Once you do it, you are now.
It won't happen.
You're
again,
sensitive
you
to that,
yes.
And it's probably big red letters in different areas of the courthouse and city hall too. Don't do certain things.
Yeah.
What about some of the other challenges? I mean, sidewalks are certainly a big deal, and a lot of times that's the private owner. But I keep thinking of trip and falls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to sue the homeowner. They're going to sue the city or the county or whatever the jurisdiction is. At what point does it become a safety issue? You go, okay, we're just going to do it because the sidewalk is either so out of alignment and really is a 2 or 3 inch change, or it's so decrepit that it's fallen apart whenever it was put in initially.
It just needs
help.
It's a part of an abatement process. So if somebody reports an issue like that and it's on private property, and by the way, they sue everybody, not just the city. But
you're on that one, not me.
when they are noticed, we go and we paint them, and then we notify the if it is a private property issue.
That's the red paint or red spray paint.
Yeah, if it's a city issue, we just add it to that year's project, and then we fix it. If it's a property owner, we notice them, let them know to take care of it. We give them, I believe, 3 notices, and then if it's not fixed by that time, then we'll take care of it, and then we put a lien on their property for taking care of it.
And you get to pay governmental hourly rates rather than private rates?
Yeah, but you don't, for that process, it's a lien, and so it just goes on your property, and you don't really pay it until you transfer ownership.
Right. Mm-hmm. Somebody still gets paid.
Somebody
does
at
some point.
Paid, yeah.
Yeah.
Typically, we work it out with the property owner, and we'll either, if it gets to that point, we'll say, hey, we can fix it. This is the rate. We can set up a payment plan, do whatever it takes in order to get it fixed.
Do you have more response and reaction to those that are owner-occupied or those that are out of the area and the property is an investment?
I'd say it varies. While doing that project, I've had people comply on both ends, whether they're owner-occupied or whether they're from out of the area. And then I've had people that are from the area and tell me to go climb a tree.
That's where the Skywalk concept came from. A couple of your fans just helping you out.
Yes.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
All right. Thank you.
See everybody on Monday.